is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul phone lines are now open. Call in now for a free intuitive reading on the air. Dial 646-595-4274. That's 646-595-4274.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this hour of newsforthesoul.com. I see we already have people lined up in the queue, which is great. So you can contact us here at newsforthesoul.com. You can listen live to the show. You can listen to it through our various playlists. And you can also find me, El Maya Hoshiamtara, there, as well as my website, www.enlightenmentinthecity. The Enlightenment in the City is for contacting me for reads or coaching. So let's talk a little bit about codependency really quick, because I do see we already have the lines piling up here. So one of the fears that people I see often get when they're trying to move ahead is they think that the higher you go, they fear that you're going to get more judged. And while it is true, you definitely do need to be discerning. What is discerning at a higher level is very different than judgment. So let's go for a minute into complete and absolute fear. Let's say, yes, you move ahead, and man, everybody's going to be a jerk, okay? Let's just go for the goals. Yeah, they're all going to be horrible. And let's say that's really, really, really going to happen. The difference between codependency and interdependency, if you're feeling like that there's going to be judgment there or you're scared that there's going to be judgment, interdependency is more likely to be upset because either you are still having actually codependent moments, but you don't realize that's what's happening. And that can include unrealistic expectations, but you're just not there yet. So you don't understand that's what's going on. Because there are definitely people who work for people that are doing much better than, you know, they're capable of having more friends. They're, doing their own business, the whole nine yards. And you're getting yelled at constantly. Now, can that happen because somebody's consistently screwing up or not good enough at the job? Absolutely. But it can also happen because you have a boss with a lot of codependency issues and you don't realize that's what's going on. And so in that case, that's when you are in situations where, you know, your boss hasn't really made clear what they want on a project. You're writing them letters or emails, rather. You can't really get an answer, what direction they want to take. You put it together. They haven't answered any of the main questions that you need in order to put the project together, but then they're just yelling and screaming because you haven't put it together in the way that they wanted. You haven't really been able to get consistent answers on your team, but you're getting in trouble for the project not being done properly. There's no, you know, manual. There's no outlining scope to the project, you know, there's no file folders or anything else, no descriptive email or a descriptive email. There was one, but it didn't get into some of the nitty-gritty details. And when you ask for clarification, and there's a difference between clarification for needing to know what direction somebody's wanting to go versus being told how to do your job because you're not prepared, which are two totally different things. That may sound similar to some people, but they are different. So, for example, an example of just not getting enough clarification, you know, like we've got a client coming in today. It's this. Okay, what project are they working on? Well, they want advertising. Okay, great. So they want advertising for, the perfume. Do they want advertising for the makeup? You know, or, you know, what are they actually advertising for? You know, those sorts of things make a really big difference, especially if you have a brand that's covering a lot of different products in a lot of different fields. And that's going to be radically, you know, needing those answers is radically different than not knowing what you're doing because there's, like, not been enough of an outline. So that's a pretty, like, you know, general broad scope. And generally speaking, I mean, I'm just trying to make it easy to understand. You would normally get more detail than that in a job unless you really had an extraordinarily really, really, you know, extraordinarily high level of codependency. which does happen. You do get people who have, you know, being thrust into jobs that they have no idea what they're doing. They're very clear about that. And the boss just expects them to figure out, but they don't, you know, have a clue at all what they're doing, which again would be another high level of codependency from the boss's standpoint. So, you know, and I know people are going to be like, well, normally the boss tells you, there are actually, when we start going into, you know, therapeutic levels of codependency, there are people who actually do it to that level, but they actually don't explain, which is very confusing. If you normally, you know, deal with people who do explain enough so that you can pick up. But it does actually happen. It's just an extraordinarily high level of codependency that most people aren't there to that degree. So when we're looking at, you know, going out and getting answers, you know, piecing together different issues, there are certain jobs that you are supposed to, you know, you do have to do your groundwork. You do have to see what's in there. You do have to put together a proposal, et cetera. Which is very different than being yelled at because you're not reading the boss's mind. You know, you should know what I want for lunch. Well, I'm sorry, I thought I would ask you. You know, those sorts of things happen. So there are differences, you know, between not knowing something that you are supposed to be doing in interdependency versus not being given enough information in codependency. And when people are worried about moving ahead, being yelled at, getting screamed at for, you know, things that they possibly can't predict, I'll use an example of codependency. That would be, you know, again, I've used this example in the past where somebody in the office is having an affair with the boss. You know, you didn't know this. You weren't even in the room when the wife came through. You're getting in trouble because you should have warned so-and-so. That would be a really good example of you haven't been told, and not only have you not been told, but maybe you don't want to get involved in the hiding the affair. And now you're getting yelled at and screamed at by a coworker because you're not a nice person, we'll put that politely, because you didn't catch something that you didn't know you needed to be catching because somebody else is screwing and doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And those are totally different things. So when we are getting in, you know, yelled and screamed at for things that we couldn't have possibly known, it's not our business to know. We don't want to cover those sorts of things, such as screwing over the wife who happens to be your boss, to cover up her, you know, shady husband's affair with her secretary, as an example. You know, you can really get in a lot of, you know, you can really get put in a lot of hot water for those situations. And do you need to cover those? Are you a bad person for not covering those? No, that would actually be more of a sign of interdependency. Codependency is, you know, you're supposed to put everything at risk because otherwise somebody's going to have to keep it in their panties, keep their panties up, keep it in the pants, find somebody who's single, divorce the wife if they actually want out, as opposed to you needing to take the brunt of the fallout. And the brunt of the fallout is really codependency, expecting other people to cover up your affair, to put themselves at risk to cover up your affair is codependency. And so, you know, it's not like you can move into interdependency and nobody's ever going to screw up ever because everybody does have moments of codependency. It's just some are more than others. So, you know, somebody may not like getting busted, but there's a big difference between you screwing over, you know, say your best friend who happens to be making a mistake. There's a big, huge difference between that and, you know, like by outing the affair to the, some guy's wife or whatever. There is a big difference between that and just saying, no, I'm not going to, you know, lie to my own, you know, your own husband, boyfriend, whoever you're involved with. You know, refusing to do that, causing problems in your own relationship because you're sneaking in and trying to cover it. Or, you know, in codependency, you know, you're expected to screw over your sister or your brother because, you know, your friend is having an affair with your brother or sister-in-law or your brother or sister's partner. Those would all be examples of codependency where you're being put in a negative space. So when people are concerned about moving ahead and having a really big opportunity and then having a big opportunity because they won't cover up something shady, what you're really saying is I'm scared that I'm going to move ahead and still have a codependent moment, because that would actually be the codependency that you're scared of. It's not the moving ahead. And, well, yes, there are people who are very rich who fuck around on their romantic partners. The more you get into interdependency, and interdependency can be interdependent or codependent in finances, but it doesn't mean that somebody's overall going to be more in interdependency versus more in codependency. So you can have somebody who's very good at business, but still be very codependent overall, in which case, you know, working for them can really screw over your own career or put you in a lot of really, you know, scary or shady points where you can end up in a lot of trouble, either, you know, with the law or with some other thing, because somebody's not wanting to do that. Now, I'm not going to say that you get interdependent enough, you're always going to catch in every single moment, woo, what's going on or what everybody's up to, but you do generally start to learn that when you do realize people are trouble and you're going to go into an environment and you're going to be working for somebody who's going to be trouble, you tend to understand you're going to be better off not to take that job. Does everybody understand that? No. Does everybody want to understand that? No. But you have the right to protect yourself. And sometimes you are better off taking a lower paying job. That's going to be less codependent by the firm, because you walk in, you see everybody's going to be trouble or they're toxic or you're getting quote unquote bad vibes. You can actually be better off not to take that, because you're going to end up screwing yourself over long term. Even though you would get higher pay in the short term, you may be better off in some cases to take a lower paying job elsewhere, or look for, ideally, you know, someplace else that also is high paying, but, you know, you're not going to have that same sort of like toxic energy that can really blow your career or get you in trouble with the law, et cetera, et cetera. So these things that, you know, people do get worried about often don't work quite the same way as you think that they do when you move ahead. It's just the fear that people have because of what they hear in codependency about what it's going to look like. So can you get fired for not being up on the job? Yeah, in interdependency, absolutely. But you can have that happen in codependency too. Additionally, in interdependency, if you're getting fired because you're not capable of doing the job, all that means is that you need to increase your skill set in an area. Now, if you're interdependent enough in enough different areas, you know that you can make that happen because you know you just need to take some courses, you just need to do that work, and you need to apply it. So even if you didn't have it currently, you know, you can, you know, go and get it and say, like, look, I signed up for the course. It's, you know, it's coming in here. You know, I'd really like to be able to stay on. I'm learning as much as I can outside of the course, but I've already paid for the course just because I know it'll do me some good. And then see if you have the chance to still keep the job. But as in codependency, you can get in trouble still for not being good at your job enough, but you also get in trouble for being too good at your job or being good at your job in a certain way that somebody else isn't there yet and they're not comfortable with it, and you can be torn down for that. So there tends to be a lot more attack in codependency, and people get scared and think that they're going to be attacked by moving ahead. But if you're going to get attacked by moving ahead, it's more likely to happen if you're moving ahead, if you're doing something codependent to move ahead. That would be an example of, you hear a lot in business seminars, you know, like, you've got to prioritize and, you know, what's going to be the most important thing to your life? And you get codependent guys, I'll use men as an example for this, you'll get codependent men who are like, yeah, fuck the bitch, you know, and, so he's, you know, deciding he's not going to spend any time with his wife, you know, shoot the relationship all to hell because he's a big player now, you know, and he's going to put all his time and energy and money into doing business, but he doesn't actually know what he's doing then. So it becomes like, you know, he's buying all this, all these office supplies, programs, et cetera, doesn't really have the skill set to put them into action, hasn't really been the type to put much into action. But so not only is he like, you know, taking out your nest egg or demanding your nest egg, demanding you, you know, get a second mortgage or whatever to do a business that he's got no experience in and he's never really had good follow through anyways, you know, you can build up smaller and get the skills that you need while making extra money, which is absolutely 100% possible without screwing over the relationship and screwing over, you know, your finances in the meantime. So in interdependency, when people are making those leaps, they're making the leaps because it's a good decision, because they have the skill sets, because they've done enough market research, because they have a proven history of doing follow through. So it makes sense for them to invest the money in certain areas, which is very different than, you know, putting your money literally on somebody who's never done squat in their life and then, you know, decided they're not going to spend time with you as a result because they shouldn't have to meet your needs in a relationship. You know, all of that would be more of a codependent slant on things. So when people try to do things more codependently, such as dumping their work on somebody else, there is going to be more of the possibility that there's going to be backlash for moving ahead, because there should be. And it's not like, oh, there should be. So because a bunch of codependent people will hear that, they'll go, yeah, I get to go use my partner now, you know, and they're going to go out and start to take all their stuff out on their partners, because codependency, when there's enough codependency, people are often looking for an excuse to be abusive. That does happen a lot, which is one of the reasons why codependency is so abusive, both coming and going for people who are stuck in a lot of it. But when you're moving ahead in a healthy, serving way, provided people are not codependent too much in that area, it does become a welcome sign of relief, or it does mean that things are getting more done in life around the house with the kids, et cetera. So it can actually meet more needs. And so when you're in an interdependent place, even though there is a fear that you may get fired for not being enough in a certain area, there are skills, again, that you can just simply increase because you need to do them. And that can, if there is, you know, criticism because you need to know something for your job and you, you know, some people lie on their resumes and then they get busted on it, it makes sense your boss is going to have a problem with that, right? Like, I'm going to say obviously, or a client is going to have a problem with that, obviously. But that's very, you know, different than you do the work, but you're still getting attacked for it, which would be more codependent. So the pain and suffering does come more from the codependent end, which is really interesting because a lot of people get scared about moving ahead because they think that's going to be the pain. But what they're talking about, the pain again, is the fear of being attacked through codependency. Now, can you, you know, will you get attacked for the rest of your life if you move ahead? If you keep enough codependent people who have a tendency to look for excuses to be abusive, that can happen. But it can also happen that they end up needing you more than you need them. And even people who were previously very abusive, like say a very toxic or abusive parent, you can get to the point where your parents actually need you more than you need them. And they start to become nice to you because they need you. So there is that possibility as well, or you're the only, you know, family they have left, or you're the only one that can stand talking to them, even if it's only, you know, one coffee for 2 hours every month. If you are the more emotionally healthy person, you know, that can increase and change their attitudes towards you because everybody needs interdependency. And I've talked about that a lot on past shows, that everybody needs interdependency. It's just not everybody can handle it. And in codependency, while some people, you know, do get out of attack by staying put and not moving ahead, the problem with it is just because one person may not go on into attack over that issue because of codependency, they may still set you up or go into attack in different areas because you're still staying with that codependent person, number one. Number two, just because the one codependent person may be okay as long as you don't move ahead in the other area, does not mean other codependent people will be okay with that, will be okay with that lack of skill set in that area, and they may go into attack. So it's like, you know, you save yourself from getting attacked by one, but you can get, you know, attacked by, you know, four or five other people in the family. you know, so if you're ending up, you know, you're trying to stop yourself from getting attacked, getting torn down by somebody that you think is doing better than you, you hang out with them and their friends, say, you know, Christmas dinner, family dinner, excuse me, and you're showing up and you're getting attacked by the, you know, the friends of, we'll use your sister or brother as an example, you know, your sister or brother's good friends, you know, who seem to be doing better than you are constantly going and attacking you anyways, that can still be because you're too low skill set. And that's, you know, pulling out their codependent, you know, excuse for attack, or else they'll just reject or not like you because you're too low skill set, which does happen in codependency. So, you know, codependency, while you can get out of maybe attack with one person in one area, again, that doesn't mean you're going to get out of attack in every area, especially if you're feeling upset about it. You're getting in people's faces because you're sick and tired of putting up with bullshit, because then people who have that tend to also get more pushy, more aggressive, and then people get pushy and aggressive back to make them stop being aggressive. So you actually have, even though it can feel safer with one person by not, by putting yourself as being lower so that you don't get attacked, it can actually create more problems in the rest of your life than you would have if you were to move ahead and you were outside of codependency enough. And then you just said, you know what, I'm not going to come to family dinner anymore. You know what, it doesn't seem like you like me. And you know what, yeah, I'm really not into sitting there being abused for Christmas dinner anymore. I'm okay. You know, I wish you the best of luck. Goodbye. You know, and for some people, you know, they say goodbye to relatives or sometimes or certain relatives, not all, or relatives on one side of the family. For some people, you know, they have long-standing friendships that they say goodbye to, or, you know, hopes that they had for a friendship with somebody, but they just realize, you know, you really like that person, but it's not worth it to be hanging out in that community because you're just going to go through too much attack. So, you know, and the codependent answer to that sometimes is, well, I'm a good person, so yeah, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. It's all the other people, you know, and you can hear in that sort of attitude, you know, the hatred, the anger. That's not somebody who's resolved enough, who's probably going to have a lot of value in their community. They can. I've definitely seen that happen sometimes, but definitely not for everybody. And with those sorts of attitudes, you still get people having enough rejection because they haven't advanced enough, number one. Number two, also, because when people are still stuck in codependency, they'll often go into codependent communities being like, I am the light. You will have value for me now. Oh, I will save you. And that's an example of when somebody is not there enough yet. And so they'll go into communities expecting to be, you know, valued, treasured. Look how much better I am than you. And the people are like, who the fuck do you think you are? You know, and snarl, 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 slash, slash, slash. So it doesn't really work to go back into codependent communities like that. Now, do some people do go into codependent communities have more value? Yeah. But it, again, it depends on the community. It depends on your relationship with them. It depends on how you're going in. So if you've got a family who's always, you know, on the attack, sometimes people, you know, they leave the family and, you know, they see them around once in a while and the family's able to, you know, grittingly be nice to them. And that's, you know, the first. And sometimes people can be pleasant, but they're not going to, you know, go for a coffee with you or whatever. And you're actually okay with it because you don't, because you've advanced enough where you actually don't want to hang out with them either. So it actually works for both of you not to have the relationship anymore. And by that, you know, maybe they could still have the value for you, but they're not attacking. And then in other moments, you know, sometimes you're going to be, it's going to be one or two people who have the value for you. And then the rest of the family is going to be like, rah, 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 slash, slash. And then you're just not going to have much to do with them because it, you know, it just doesn't make sense to do that. Now in codependency, you know, people are often trying to prove, no, I'm a good person. Oh, fuck you, codependent people. You know, and then they go back into the fray and get attacked and do the attacking, et cetera, and, you know, cry, et cetera, saying like, I'm a good person. You should know this. But when people are interdependent enough, and I'm saying this is like actually not needing it, not when people are trying to convince themselves that they don't need it. When people are there, they're just trying to convince themselves that they're okay. It just means you haven't grown enough yet. And some in codependency answer to that is, well, I will grow and I try to make myself be okay with things that I'm not. That's not what we consider to be growth. you know, it's good that you realize, okay, that you want to stay away from things. But what I'm talking about actual growth is, people are actually okay that people don't like them. And they're not hanging out there with a bunch of people that are sniveling at them, you know, glaring at them, et cetera, like going, oh, I'm okay with this. You know, look at all the hatred I'm getting at. I'm getting aimed at. Ooh, I'm totally okay with this. They're not sitting there going, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. It's that they actually just, they're advanced enough where they see the codependent patterns and they're just actually okay with it. Like, okay, great. You know, this, the family's going to sit there and slander you behind your back. Got it. But you have enough good stuff where you're just going and you're hanging out and you're actually okay that you don't talk to, you know, that part of your family anymore, or that that friendship ended. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you're never going to correct things or, you know, or have an issue that somebody's saying behind your back, because some people can get very detrimental and abusive. It's just that if you're not around, you tend to stop you tend to stop feeding the fire so much, so there's less for them to latch onto and less for them to be reactive to. Also, when people get interdependent enough, when they start doing enough solutions and implementing them into their lives, it becomes easier to just say, like, that's just not my cup of tea, because you just understand that people do have a choice to come out of the patterns, but they just don't want to. And that includes even for people who currently can't, they have the choice to go for therapy, they have the choice to do their self-development work or not. So people tend to get in interdependency more and more okay with the way that this is just the way the world is, not all over, but in, you know, with certain families or certain friends groups or whatever, because you understand the that genuinely, and again, the key word is genuinely, you genuinely understand people have the power to take themselves out of it if they want to do the work and get the help and be open and listen and put the actions in and have the maturity and the willingness to actually do it. And then when you understand that, okay, great. You know, it's easy. And when people don't, it's like, okay, well, they could go to therapy. They don't want to. Okay. You know, that's a choice. you know, they can spend their money on, I mean, I love green tea latte, seriously. And Starbucks came out with a strawberry matcha latte. I mean, I can't do Starbucks because of all the sugar, but I found that and I tried one to see what it was going to taste like. I started making them at home. And I tell you, ever since the weather started getting warmer, every single morning, I have a strawberry matcha latte. Like, oh, so, so good. You know, so you get to this point where, you know, you just understand, like, you can create things that you want to create in your life, and you cannot create things that you want to create. You know, everybody has that capability. But you just become, like, okay with it because you understand that it's just, you know, you have the choice to have the latte or to go to therapy once a month or to go for some other treatment once a month because, you know, those lattes, I mean, the lattes I'm talking about, the size I like them, like $7 the last time I went for one drink. So if you're going, like, you know, 5 days a week on your way to the office, say that's, you know, that's $140 a month, and that's Canadian, maybe less, you know, where you live. That's $140 a month, you know, and that's Canadian. So a little bit more than that, and, you know, you'd be able to come in for a coaching session with me once a month, right? So it just depends on, you know, what it is that you want to spend your money on. And some people, you know, they want the makeup. I understand. I like makeup, you know, or a new shirt or, you know, another cheap purse or whatever. You understand that people have a lot more resources. Now, does that mean everybody has resources to that degree? No. But there are a lot more resources that are out there that are a lot more available because a lot of people, you know, they read the self-development books. Great. Are you doing the questions? No. Well, if you're not doing those questions that they suggest, that is part of your self-development work to get ahead. Now, a book will not cover everything that you will get in a session, unfortunately. I wish it were so, but it's not. You do need a coach to get ahead, but you can definitely make a big dent in your life through watching videos, you know, doing the worksheets, et cetera. You can make somewhat of a dent, but you do need help to make more of a dent, and just simply saying that, you know, you can get ahead more than you think. And, you know, even when you can afford a lot of self-development courses, you're still going to have to do a lot of studying. If you want to, like, dissolve your memory, you're still going to have to do the practices. So the coaching is not the whole complete and absolute thing that you have to do every single day for the rest of your life. But part of it is helping you get things together so that when you're doing the studying, you're putting things together differently from more of an interdependent standpoint as opposed to a codependent standpoint, so that you get more out of what you are reading, you get more of what out of your studying, and that helps to further change you, and you'll get more out of the books by coming in for coaching. You'll get more out of the courses by coming in for coaching, by having, you know, trauma resolved, et cetera, et cetera. So you will get more out of it by coming in for coaching first than you will by just by studying. But after that, you know, the studying definitely comes in handy. So, you know, there's all these choices that people have. And, you know, whether people do it or not, when you understand it's a choice, people get a lot more calm and a lot more accepting. And codependents, you know, that's bad and mean and wrong. It's not bad and mean and wrong, but then codependency thinks that it is. So they keep putting themselves in negative or harmful or toxic situations, going, oh, I'm going to save these people because I have the love in my heart, and oh, fuck you, you know, interdependent people that aren't quote-unquote helping. And then they keep getting burned, and they're like, why do I get burned? I'm the only one that helps. And is it true that you're the only one that helps? No. But in interdependency, people know where to put their energy, who they're going to get burnt with, who they're not going to get burnt with. And because they're okay with the fact that, you know, somebody will go if they want to or not go to, even though that's, or go for help or not go to help, even though that's very mean in codependency, when people have that acceptance of you and they're not hyped up that they need to make you change, that you know, acceptance that comes from interdependency is actually highly valued in codependency. And where does that come from? You calm down because you're not in a bunch of toxic situations reliant on other people to change in order to be okay. You don't need them to change in order for you to be okay because you're not hanging out with them. They're not having an impact on your life. You are making healthier decisions for yourself. And even if you do have a family member that you do need to help or will have more of a negative impact in your life, it's one person as opposed to six, and you're not letting them, you know, completely take over your life. And then if there's a chance that they are, you know, you may choose to take a separate path or to branch off because you're just not going to go through the abuse again. So there are, in interdependency, you will put limits on abuse, how much abuse you're going to take. Where in codependency, people can't afford to because they often, or feel like they can't afford to. They can afford to, but they think they can't afford to because they're scared that they're not going to have resources. And then when they're outside of that pattern, they're like, oh, that person's screwing me over. Oh, you know, look how hard they're making my life. And interdependency is sitting there going, uh-huh, yeah, that's why we said stop hanging out with that person. But codependency, that's mean and wrong. How dare you stop hanging out with the people that are going to fuck you over? Who do you think you are, interdependent snobs? You know, so it's just a whole pattern over and over again. And interdependency is just calmer because, like, well, okay, I told you. Cool. Well, you know, have a good day. I'm going home and I'm going to make supper and talk to my honey, you know, and it's just, you know, you're not upset about it because you understand that people actually can get ahead if they actually wanted to, and they can do it in healthy, serving ways if they wanted to. So there's a lot more choice there. Interdependency understands that, which is why we're calmer, you know, and why we're able to deal with life better, because life's a lot easier when you're not waiting for the hammer to drop. Through codependency. So just, you know, something to consider. So we have, let's see, area code 781, 781. You're on the air with Almaya Hoshiamtara.
Hi, Al. It's Anne from Boston.
Hi, Annie. How you doing?
Not so hot. I think I'm coming to the end. I hope I recover, but I've had a rough few weeks.
What happened?
The cancer has gone everywhere.
Oh, honey.
Oh, I'm still hoping for a miracle, but we'll see. But I have to make decisions. I don't know how to do it, to place Ben someplace, but he's not quite that bad. And the first response I got from his family is, no, we won't take him. Second response was from someone else. I need to sign documents to take over the money.
Right.
So that wasn't good. And the person who wants to take over the money didn't do well with their own brother. I don't trust them.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. If they're like, no, screw Ben, give me your money, that doesn't.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm hoping for, I think I'm taking a trip to Vancouver to see Holly. So that's the next step, I guess.
Okay, yeah, Holly's a good step.
Yeah, and the other thing is I went back to a Vietnamese healing group.
Okay.
I don't know. They're good people. I just didn't know it would be good for me.
Right.
And then one of my partners in crimes is trying to tell me, go to Dana-Farber, Dana-Farber.
Okay.
So we'll see. So I want to survive. I expect to survive. But maybe it's teaching me a lesson to... This codependency happens to us all when we're taking care of sick people and you're sick yourself. So it's quite not unusual.
Yeah.
So any advice?
So Ben can't handle the money himself, I gather?
He will drink it.
He will what?
And he'll forget to pay bills. He will drink it.
Right, okay.
And
you're...
He'll drive his power to the ground.
And your kids, how would your kids be with that?
I have one daughter. She's just gone through double mastectomy. And I think she's on her way to a divorce, and her nest is empty. And she's been handling most of the, you know, stuff. She's been the good little stepdaughter.
Right.
All these years. So she'll be the one. She's on some documents already.
Okay. Yeah, she seems like a good one to handle things. Does she want to take Ben in?
Not really. Between all the stuff she's going through, trying to get over her cancer.
Right.
She's emptying out her nest in August. And she's
right.
Had it. Had it with her husband. So he's a boy.
Yeah. Right.
So the ship's hitting the pan. So we're cursed at the moment.
Okay, so the Dana-Farber, that will get you... Hold on, let's see here. Dr. Holly will buy you a little bit of time. Dana-Farber will buy you some more time.
Okay.
Let's see. So it does look like it's talking to them both and getting the combination of both. The Vietnamese Healing Group, it does, let's see here, hold on. The Vietnamese Healing Group would be really good, it looks like, to help you. Hold on, what's this? I don't know how to explain this, but it's like they... It's like you're going to see them, and then I see you lit up with all the stars.
I see stars.
Yeah, like, I really want to be clear because we are talking about the possibility, you know, if you're nervous that you're going to transition. hold on here. I really wanted, hold on, crap, hold on. Okay, so I want to be clear, it doesn't look like they're going to help hasten end of life, and I really want to be clear before I say this, because it does look like they can help you get ready for when you do make the transition without helping, and I really want to be clear about this because we are using the words on transitioning, they're not going to add to hasten your transition. I really want to be clear about that because we are talking legally, but helping you so that you are going to have a transition. It looks like they're putting, like, a lot of stars. It's like you know, when we do those, like, you know, the memes, and it's like you are one with the stars, and, you know, and you see the outline of the person with, like, all the stars and, you know, the night sky, and it's all beautiful, and it's lit up, and it's very powerful, healing, those sorts of things. I'm seeing them put that into your energy, which is, you know, really great. So to, you know, just becoming helping you to become one, again, not by hastening the process.
I understand.
But, yeah, I'm just putting this out there with this for legally. I know you get it, but I'm just putting this out there legally because we are talking about transitioning, and I don't want any, like, knock, 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 so, you know. And also because I don't want anybody else to get the wrong idea, because sometimes people are like, oh, they're going to transition, let me help. And it's like,
No, not what we mean.
Yeah. And we don't want to get other people having the idea to help other people with the transitioning. But it's like they're
we
just
all do
helping. Yeah, we all do it, but it's good naturally, not against the law, right? So, but getting that, you know, getting the all the stars in the sky within you, so when you do go out, it's like just when it's on the TV show when you see somebody transition, right? And it's like, law, you know, well, not the law, but it's like the, and it's like, there they go. It's like something from Star Trek, right? Like, there they go into the stars, and we know that they're always going to be out there type thing. So they would be really, really good for helping you to do that. You know, the Buddhists believe, you know, you want to focus on something that's the right thing to be doing to help steer. And it doesn't quite look like that's what they're doing, but they do seem to have some sort of knowledge about helping you get into that that understanding of the eternal space, so that when your time naturally comes, you'll be able to embrace that. So that would be a really good group to keep in contact with. Yeah, and it does look like your daughter's going to be the best one to be handling the bills in terms of Ben, and you have something, you know, really tricky. It doesn't seem like that's, you know, going to be in your daughter's best interests, which I gather you already figured out. And it doesn't sound like she's really wanting to do that anyways. In terms of, you know, where to put him, it would be really, really good to contact an advocacy group and see what their options in terms of where to go, what to do, et cetera.
The senior center here in town?
Try that. They would have, there are advocacy groups for end of life. you know, some places are more open if you have, you know, a Buddhist temple in town that's coming up for some reason, going and talking to them and finding out what, you know, resources there are, hospices. I don't know what hospice looks like in the U.S. or what people's capabilities are. So I don't know what that would look like, but finding groups that deal with that sort of thing would be your best bet. Hold on here. Yeah, so that does seem like it's a best bet.
I have plenty of all kinds of resources around me, I think.
Okay, good.
Sometimes the choices are, like, daunting.
Yeah, you know, but it's good, though, because, you know, at least you get, you start with the ones that feel the best, and you talk to them, and, you know, in the very least, you know, you get answers, you have people to talk to, you know, you're making contact, you're coming home and saying, like, look, this is your option. And, you know, also then with, you know, with the time, you do have the choice to, you know, he does have the choice to make a decision about, you know, where he's going to go and whether he's going to do, you know, self-care by going into some place or not.
If availability.
And that's another thing to check into. Yeah,
availability. Assisted living would be great. It's pricey, but there is assistance, and there's usually long wait lists, and sometimes people don't understand, you know, issues. They get the job, but they don't know how to do it. And I see that a lot. That's why he's with me. The other thing, I was considered for a job that I could do.
Okay.
Another time, probably if I recover from this, would that have been a good choice for me to take, and for the other people who wanted me to do it? Would have been a good choice.
Okay. What was the job?
Sort of a senior housing manager.
Okay, here. Well, it would have been one of the things that helps to fill your heart, because you are giving and you do like to help, and, you know, you want to be able to do those things, you know, to help get people, you know, make needs, find resources, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it would have been, I mean, from your soul perspective, that would have been a very lovely thing for you to do. It would have been one of those things like, wow, I can't believe I'm getting paid for this, you know, and you feel happy and, you know, it feels really great to go to work. And it would also help you to understand more the flip side too of like, you know, the interdependent side of it, which is, you know, hey, people actually, you know, there are more resources out there than people think. People can actually help themselves. Yeah. And, oh, wait, this is what it looks like when people don't. Oh, but you know what? Annie's actually okay anyways, you know, and having that, and sometimes, you know, it's still going to break your heart. But it would have been like a really, really good learning experience for yourself. Completely and absolutely, and it would have been something that would have brought you a lot of peace. You know, if you're still wanting to, I don't know if you're going for treatment or not, but it is, you know, something that if, you know, if you wanted to do it, it would still be something that would be, you know, hold on. Yeah, so making it through would be really good. It can still offer you something. Currently, just not as much as it would if, you know, you were not having to focus on the cancer stuff, obviously. Hold on here. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you have things that you need to work on, but what they're basically saying is, you know, if... if there ever was, like, you know, you were to get, like, you have the 3 months to live or whatever, then what they're basically saying is they would just ask you to be free, finally just be free, you know, and just live as Annie and have that experience on the life plane. And if you do make it through, then what they're saying is, you know, that job would be really, really excellent, and that would be a really excellent way for you to spend time, you know, for the rest of your days. It would be, you know, kind of like watching Mother Teresa in a sense, you know, having that fulfillment, having that, like, yes, this is my path, and being on that would be absolutely wonderful for you.
So it's still a possibility. And the last one is, of course, I still live with a building manager, but I think they're charging me extra rent because they claim I didn't pay it. But I think they're pulling a fast one on me just to get us out, because I heard a conversation with, I guess, a real estate agent about it. So I don't know if the building manager is trying to, you know, do that. I think he probably didn't cash the check or something or other, because I paid it at the post office. So I don't know if there's something there, and the landlord doesn't call me back.
Well, you should have, a copy of your bank balance, and it would show that the rent came out and that they cashed the check. So you would have
they haven't cashed it. Yeah, they haven't cashed it. I have the receipt. They haven't cashed it yet.
Okay, but then you know that they have it, though. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they can charge you extra rent for that. I might be wrong. I don't know how it works in your area, but that would be worth something checking into. I mean, we both know that, you know, there's issues with the building manager and the energy and all those sorts of things. So it's just one more game. But it seems like it's sort of like the universe is more pushing you to get Ben into wherever he needs to go, and then allowing,
right.
And it seems like it's more the push to get you to allow yourself to have that freedom to do all those wonderful things. Hold on here a moment. Because of the way that it would change your own life path. So, like, if, you know, you make it through the cancer, then it's, you know, it would change the job scope for you as well. It wouldn't be like, you know, coming home and dealing with Ben and then going to work and, you know, having those moments of like, oh, you know, this is so rough. Like, hi, can you cheer me up? It would be more like just having that release where, hi, I'm coming to work and I'm going to serve you. And my name's Anne, and, you know, I'm the best person you're going to come across who's going to be able to help you in this position. It would just be more of that as opposed to taking on a new job and then repeating the same old patterns. So it's, you know, not fun. And again, there's legal issues that can come with that, that definitely, you know, you want to be checking into. But it is the universe's way also of just trying to support you and get you onto path for doing things that are going to be beneficial for you, as well as, you know, making sure that, you know, Ben's being taken care of, obviously, in a way that's going to be beneficial and healthy for him. So, you know, if, you know, something does happen, then he's taken care of and it's not going to be a last minute thing. You know, and if he makes it, you know, and if you make it through, you know, whether, you know, this is something that you want, whether this is something he wants, if it is, then you would have more freedom to do the job and, you know, and to have that aspect of your life. And for Ben also understanding, like, you know, things can be, if he was moved in, it seems like this push is also, if the push came because you were gone, it would be like Ben would be having a lot harder of a time of it, which we both know without you.
Yeah.
But it seems like if he was helped to go wherever he needs to go before you passed, it seems like the lesson would be, it's not as bad as he thought it was going to be. So maybe, you know, he didn't need to maybe handle your relationship the way that he's handled the relationship sometimes. Because, you know, sometimes when people are reliant on somebody, sometimes they get over controlling because they're scared that the other person is going to leave and then they're going to be screwed. And him, say, going into a facility sooner before that would be it would be a lesson for him, like, hey, you know what, it's okay to relax now and it's okay to enjoy yourself and, you know, it's okay to have a much better time than you thought it was going to, than you thought there was going to be, you know, and things can be more okay, and he would actually be able to deal with the transition easier. If you did leave first, he would be able to handle the transition easier than he would be if you were, you know, to pass on and he wasn't in a place yet. It would actually be a kinder end of life for him in a facility before you left than it would be him tanking after.
Yeah,
if
I know.
If you went first. So, you know, and it's just like, you know what they say, like, you know, sometimes, like, oh, people, sometimes, you know, the people we have a hard time with, oh, sometimes they're here to, you know, teach us a lesson. But sometimes they're really actually here to help us. And universe really does sometimes, as funny as that sounds, uses people that are, you know, troublesome or even toxic or even abusive in some cases. Sometimes the universe does use people who are really abusive to get us out of one situation and into another situation that can actually be beneficial. So I'm not going to say, like, say thank you, you know, for screwing you over, Mr. Lauer. but the universe is definitely using him to help you create something beautiful that would be beneficial for you both, for sure.
That's wonderful. Should I look to the north where Stephanie is, or should I have him stay here? I don't know which would be more convenient. I'd like to make it more convenient for her. But he has a community he's involved in here.
Right. Northwest.
I don't know how helpful they are. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We're at the top of the hour, but Northwest seems to be the best.
Okay.
But Annie, you call in every single week, okay? Every
All
single
right,
week.
Thanks a
you
lot.
Call me, you talk
Alrighty.
To me. Okay.
Right,
I love you.
Thanks.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
Okay. Bye bye. Okay. Wow. That was Annie. At the top of the hour. This has been quite a kick-ass week. So thank you everybody for calling in. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody else. And Dr. Holly's also, Anne, has gone to Mexico. So contact her through her website. You can always write into the show and ask for her website. Thank you so much everybody for writing in. We will be back here every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's at 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. Thank you so much, everybody. I love you. And again, come find me here at newsforthesoul.com. That's L or find me on enlightmentinthecity.com. Thank you so much. I love you. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.